Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, June 22nd, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
Who is this?
Why, I'm your host, ma'am, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. Judging from the comments pouring in from all over, you guys are really enjoying these special Pride Month podcasts, huh? The last 2 weeks, I featured the brilliant work of Mike from MikeMen.com. Today and next week, we have as our guest a gay visual artist of a completely different stripe. As you know, these podcasts are part of the Erotic Mind series. We converse with noted erotic artists from all over the world in an effort to uncover something of the creative process involved in this specialized art form. Today, I have the honor of introducing you to a friend, someone I've known for several years. He is charming, funny, and oh so talented. He is Rene Capone. Rene is both an artist and a storyteller. In fact, I think he's best described as an artist storyteller. He imbues his creations, both lifelike and fantasy, with something of his own nature and life experience. He says it's the job of the artist to explore the fundamental emotions of life, love, hate, jealousy, fear, anger, and passion. And he does so with a childlike simplicity, which is absolutely remarkable. Rene's work is a refreshing departure from the more explicit work of some of the other artists featured in this series. But as we find out from Rene himself, eroticism has many dimensions. If art is truthful, he says, it will also be erotic. Discover Rene and his memorable artwork on his site, renecapone.com.
Oh, shit. Nurse Ton, call maintenance. I have sperm all over my desk again.
Oh, that's so disgusting. Today's podcast sponsor is, once again, So Hard. So Hard is what we in the business call a boner pill. But So Hard is not just any old Viagra knockoff, no siree. It's a pure, all-natural, herbal formula that improves sexual health, combats erectile dysfunction, and increases the strength of your erection when aroused. Listen, I've tried So Hard, so I can testify to its effectiveness. Look for my review of So Hard on my new product review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. And here's a tip. The first 1,000 customers to visit So Hard online will receive a free 2-tablet package for just the cost of shipping and handling. Now you can review the product yourself, and you can do so for free. Just log on to sohardonline.com, create your order, enter the promotional code DD, as in Dr. Dick, in the checkout window, and then click Submit Code Link. Get your wood the natural way. Look for their handsome banner in the sidebar of my site. You'll be so glad you did. Okay, on with the show. Welcome, Rene, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm so happy that we could finally make this time to be together. I've been a big fan of yours for a very long time. Would you like to say hello to the nice people?
I would. On behalf of Sandra and Sassy, I'd like to say good morning.
Oh, good. Thank you, good. And I have been a big fan of yours. We go back some years, right?
Yeah, we used to email each other many years, yeah.
Yeah, and you were one of the featured artists on one of my sites a long time ago, Queer for You and Jizz for You, and so...
I forgot all those ones.
That's right.
Yeah,
right.
I forgot how much I'd been around.
And you still look like you're 13, so it's really too scary. Way too scary.
Well, moisturizer.
And I thought it was the Dorian Gray routine, but perhaps not. So listen, I've been spending way too much time on your site, renecapone.com.
Cool.
I believe that I'm single-handedly burning up all the bandwidth, so bad on me. It's just that there's so much to see and read, and you clearly love your work, don't you?
Yeah, I'm in love with my artwork, but you kind of have to be any good at it.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I suspect that that's the case. You seem to be really passionate about what you do, and it clearly comes across. So before we start discussing erotic art in general and your work in particular, let's talk about you. Can you give us a brief bio?
I am currently 30 years old. desperately trying not to look it.
Well, you've got a long way to go.
Thanks.
Boyfriend.
I grew up in upstate New York. Uh-huh. I went to college in New York City at Parsons School of Design.
Uh-huh.
Lived in Jersey for a brief stint.
Bad luck for you.
Well, I became a Bruce Springsteen fan.
Uh-huh.
And then I moved to California in the year 2000, right before the World Trade Center fell.
Uh-huh.
And I went because I was sick of New York City. I thought, I'll never have a career here. I can't be in this giant pond of giant fish that want to eat me.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved to California. And as soon as I moved to California, I started to have a pretty interesting career. And it was wonderful.
Yeah. Good.
And so currently I'm here in San Francisco in my apartment. And we like to call it San Francisco, though. That's our thing.
We must have just missed each other, because I used to live in San Francisco and moved here in 1999, at the end of 1999.
Oh, so literally just missed each other, yeah.
So from reading a little bit about you on your website, I understand that you had a really difficult childhood, and I suspect that some of that difficulty is reflected in your work. Is that right?
It is, and I've been very open about it.
Uh-huh.
Recently. I, of course, used to not address that fact or issue at all in my life.
Is that right?
But I found out the hard way that if you don't, it will come for you in the night and haunt you. It's true.
It's true.
So it's best to get that shit out now. And
yeah.
It's a lot about what my artwork is about now.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of weave erotic art through that, as fucked up as that is. That's what the artwork is now. But yes, a lot of it has to do with my childhood and other people's childhoods and how we evolve.
Right.
I learned that if I did it myself, that other people would follow.
Uh-huh.
And it became a beautiful thing. It didn't start out that way. It was very difficult. I did not want to make my artwork so personal. I always tried to distance myself. And I was like, I will draw pretty people and be very far away from them. But the more I got involved, the better it got.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that your art is therapeutic then, as well as creative?
Oh, for me, yeah. The recent incarnation, well, I was kind of a very abused child, and I learned to hide it from myself almost. And then when I approached 29, I started having these vivid flashbacks.
Wow.
At work almost, and I'm a receptionist, so you can imagine it was really difficult. It was like, what do you want? Answering the phone. My boss is fine. Like, man, I have a nervous breakdown. Leave me alone. Luckily, he's usually not in the office, so he didn't have to see it. And so for me, it was very therapeutic to get through that, and I did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
One of the major things that you've been working on for some time is, I guess we would call it a comic, called Hedgehog Boy?
Hedgehog Boy, yes. But in order to gain respect from the world, we like to call them graphic novels, but they are comic books.
Good. Rose by any other name.
Right.
But, you know, that's a good thing. I need to write that down. So are you Hedgehog Boy?
I most certainly am. I would not have admitted that a couple of years ago, but I definitely am now.
Uh-huh.
And I like him very much.
He's sweet, and he's charming, and he's vulnerable, and
also ferocious, irreverent.
Yes, that's right.
And talks to a bear that doesn't exist.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, the not such bad things necessarily. I mean, he could possibly be an axe murderer, and
no, he's not.
So, can you tell us how you got your start as an artist?
I always drew. And I was thinking about this the other day. I thought you'd probably ask me this.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered, when did I decide I was going to be an artist? And I could say something cheesy like, oh, I just loved crayons. But no, it was when I was in, I think, what's the grade before high school? Is it eighth grade?
That's right.
Eighth grade. I drew a picture of Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman.
Oh, my.
And the art teacher put it up in the hall.
Mm-hmm.
And and the next day someone had stolen it.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, I want to be an artist. Because at that age, to have someone steal your artwork was like, wow, that's
right.
Cool.
Right.
So it wasn't like I was, you know, all introspective. I actually wanted people to steal my artwork.
So it's funny, because as you know, I've been interviewing a whole bunch of people, visual artists as well as literary artists, and it's a common theme throughout that the people who are being very successful now and are recognized as at the top of their field, these are people who started out, you know, writing or drawing or whatever, as very small children. And
yeah.
So you follow that pattern.
Well, it's a gift, you know. It's given to you, and you have to sort of use it or lose it.
Yeah, I was more inclined to eat the crayons than
the purple ones are for fuchsia. Is
yeah,
very
they're
good.
So delicious. I used to love it. I was like, you know, my mouth would be all this color. It was. Well, I was a strange child, and
I would have probably liked you a whole lot then. I love strange children.
Oh,
I used to teach children as well, so I kind of have an affection for crazy children.
Well, maybe one day you'll incorporate Dr. Dick Boy in
eating crayons. Don't tempt me.
Right,
I do put a lot of people in my life. I put them in my comic books.
Good, 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 good. So,
like Sparkle. I have to tell you about Sparkle later. We'll get there.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. So tell me, when did your art begin to turn erotic?
Probably as I started to want to have sex.
Uh-huh.
Like puberty hit and I started, you know, I have this weird relationship with the world and my artwork where people always looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I started to approach puberty and get, you know, like they would be on the walls of the high school, and I'd be like, well, I'm going to draw some fucked up gay art and throw it on the walls.
Right.
So I would, and it would be real erotic, and I thought I was making like a stance, and it was, so I guess it just naturally, as I matured, the artwork got more erotic.
Uh-huh.
And then it got so erotic, kind of like peaked, and then it kind of got away from erotic a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is actually more erotic in the end, I found out.
Interesting. That is very interesting. Where do you find your models, or are all these exceptional creatures figments of your imagination?
Most of them are half figments of my imagination currently. I used to only draw my boyfriends or fuck buddies, but I figured out that as soon as I start to draw somebody, our relationship gets entirely fucked up. I don't know how, it's like a cosmic thing, but like, if you're an artist and you draw your boyfriend, they will not be your boyfriend for too much longer.
There's some words of wisdom right there.
I don't know
from
why.
An erotic artist.
But
right.
Friends, I take a lot of pictures of my friends because
uh-huh.
they're nice. And
uh-huh.
Weave them in and out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
I did use myself sometimes. People think I used myself more than I did in my earlier work,
uh-huh.
but it was just that my boyfriend looked a lot like me, so.
Right. So it was the Gemini effect.
Yes.
But you don't actually have people sit for you. You take photos.
I take pictures because I don't really work like in a static way.
Uh-huh.
So if someone were to come sit for me, they would probably have a very bizarre experience because I would be talking to myself and
uh-huh.
walking around the house and but not paying attention to them and
uh-huh.
mumbling and eating food.
Uh-huh.
It wouldn't really work out. I have to have a picture so I can do it my way in my own time.
Right, right, right. Here's a question that has been coming up a lot in recent conversations that I've had with visual artists. There is some discussion among the people I've been talking to is, are people like yourself an artist or an illustrator, or are you both?
I would like to think I'm both.
Uh-huh.
I would have probably said I'm an artist many years ago,
mm-hmm.
but I've always drawn in an illustrative manner,
uh-huh.
and I want my work to be reproduced.
Right.
So I would think that I'm an illustrator now.
Uh-huh.
But I think I could still fall under the artist category. The two things get blurred together
yeah.
so easily now,
right.
especially with production and print and the internet. And
yes. and digital.
Anyone who claims to be just an artist, I think, is probably living in a bubble that they shouldn't be.
Yeah. Sometimes my sense is that when people make that distinction between artist and illustrator, it's a hierarchical kind of thing. Like artist is on top and illustrator is somewhere down below.
Right. Well, you'd have to call Andy Warhol an illustrator then.
Yes. See? Well, see, yeah, and good for
and
you.
And he's not an illustrator,
yeah.
But he was.
Yes. Right. Defining erotic art is difficult. Since
Very.
Perceptions of both what is erotic and what is art fluctuate with time and culture, you agree, I assume, yes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Care to elaborate?
Difficult question. I hope it will make sense. I guess, you know, I've thought a lot about this, especially while I'm working. And
yes.
You know, you make erotic art and you do what kind of like makes you tingle.
Uh-huh.
But you don't want to just isolate it to what makes you tingle. You just try to think about what other people want in the erotic. And then you realize that it's so subjective and so strange. And also, people compartmentalize their sexuality.
Right.
So it makes it difficult to present it to people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and as the years go on, people accept this or that more than they did years ago. And so it's definitely opening up. It's broader. More things are accepted.
Mm-hmm.
But it's evolving. It's strange. It's taboo even still. I don't know why, but it is.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's what makes it so in demand, is because it is, you know, taboo.
People always want what they can't have.
That's right. Or they shouldn't have, more to the point, because they can have it if they really want it.
Right.
It's just that, you know, they often prohibit themselves.
If you introduce a little guilt, my, is that hot.
It's true.
It's so true. You're
I love guilt.
You're a Catholic boy, too, I'll bet.
No, I just like people who have guilt. It turns me on.
Oh, that was a thing that I never could understand or appreciated, and it was the downfall of so many relationships that I had with other people that I thought were going to be so cool and interesting, and it turned out that they were guilt-ridden, and you know, it just leaves such a stain and a heaviness.
Well,
you know,
I find it strange that people can't recognize that it's not guilt is an artificial thing that's not created by you.
Yeah.
The person that's having it, and
yeah.
I think it's strange when people can't follow that link in their head and realize it's not really them.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't say, I love jizz, without feeling guilt, you know,
yeah.
You have to realize that maybe it's not really you, it's
yeah.
the outside world.
Yeah, but, I mean, to the
Mormons, point. Oh my God, another point. Mormons are really good in bed. They,
well, they
are
can
so
be.
Guilt-ridden. But then after you have sex, they're not very much fun anymore.
No.
Because
no.
They don't really laugh about it or do it again. They leave and call you later.
This is becoming very self-revelatory, huh?
Sorry.
No, I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. Speaking of which, there is also a distinction made between erotic art and pornography, and both depict body, sensuality, sexuality, lovemaking, etc., but
mm-hmm.
some believe that there is a fundamental difference between the two forms of expression. Do you agree
there
with
is.
That?
There is. I absolutely agree. And I have very strong opinions about that.
Oh, good. Let's hear it.
Pornography, like I said before, compartmentalizes sex from a person's life. I think art and erotic art should encapsulate all of that into a whole person.
I see.
Pornography kind of cuts off your emotions, where you've been that day, who your mother is, you know, like all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Erotic art should be able to encompass all of that and present to you a whole person. Pornography is just plain fucking. And I love pornography a lot, but I don't think it's art at all.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Koons tried to address this. I don't know if anybody knows this, but he did that big art show where he was taking pictures of himself fucking his girlfriend in the ass, and then because he's Jeff Koons, he could put it in a big gallery.
Wow.
And it was like, this is just disgusting. It's not, it was hot, but it was disgusting. it's not art. It doesn't point to a higher truth. It doesn't give us anything else to think about. That's what I think. I couldn't stand when people would say, your art is pornography or something like that. It would just infuriate me, because I never made a piece of art that was pornographic. I always thought about the higher emotions that people have, even if I was drawing a picture of boys kissing. Right. There was something else to it.
And to the people who presume to want to make pornography that is erotic, and not just bumping parts, but, you know, actual, like, character development and, you know, is that pornographic too, just because it's...
No, they're in uncharted, brave territory, and I give them a lot of credit for it, because they're in the ocean by themselves,
I
think I'm starting to get there myself.
Yeah, I'll say, because, I mean, that's what I tried to do in Daddy-O Productions. I mean, I recoiled from the idea of just, you know, depicting parts bumping. I mean,
yeah.
I wanted to see faces, I wanted to see, you know, secondary sexual responses, you know, like curling of toes and grimacing of the face and flushes and erect nipples and all of that kind of stuff. Big accent on kissing and interestingly enough, I paid a huge price for that in terms of, you know, the kind of reviews that I got from the industry, and they said, you know, too much like softcore, and, you know, not enough cum shots per 20 minutes, and, you know, and it's true. I mean, that was precisely that. I mean, if you don't have, you know, 2.2
cum shots. Well, I think those are emotionally immature people.
Well, but it's an industry. I mean, you know,
it
the industry came from someplace, and anyone...
Well, it comes from economics, and people buy what they want.
Right. Yeah. But then again, I mean, people buy what... if you don't have a choice, and the only thing that you have is the part-bumping, you know, type of pornography, and not the other option, then, of course, you buy what is available. So I thought, you know, wouldn't it be cool if I gave people options? And, you know, I had lots and lots of real loyal fans who were very interested in, you know, the productions that we did, but in terms of the mainstream, you know, people just didn't get it. You know, they're just like, well, you know, that's...
Well, you know, that actually makes you pretty damn cool. You know, it's okay to be a little underground. I mean, San Francisco,
I was so fucking underground that it was, you know, hard to find me. That's how...
But there's a huge movement here in San Francisco where people are into pornography like that.
Yeah.
There's the old Armory in San Francisco got bought by a porn company.
That's right. Can't
and they make movies that are kind of like that. They're a little off the cuff. They show people having bizarre emotional reactions to things. It's not normal, but they have it in a giant city block in San Francisco.
So they get to be Abby normal if they want
to.
So maybe this would be a good place for us to talk about your personal take on erotica. As we've discovered in the conversation so far, there are several plausible definitions floating around out there, but I want to get your take on that specifically. What does erotic in art mean to you? I mean, besides the stuff that you've already said about the emotional component.
I like erotic art that kind of flirts with your idea of what flirts with the idea of combining romance and sex. I don't think that might be a little strange for some people, but I think it's beautiful. So in my own artwork, I try to, if something's erotic, I try to show it in a way that is almost childlike. Like, do you remember the time when you were 13 years old and you're sitting on the couch with your friend, and somehow you end up, you know, doing something a little sexual and you can't figure it out? I think that's kind of erotic. And if you can kind of keep that throughout your entire life, I think that is very special and beautiful.
Right. Like a lot of your art features kissing. And interestingly enough, a lot of other erotic art, or so far that I've seen, does not, and there's
kissing. I think is the most intimate erotic thing that a person can do with somebody else. You have to decide you're going to do it. It's a lot easier just to stick your dick in, but to actually bring your face to another human being's face, brush your teeth first, and, you know, then intimately connect is intense. That's erotic. It's very erotic because you go beyond just sex. You start to get an essence of who that person is.
Right.
And if you absorb that and then make sex out of it, yeah. This is making me really horny.
So
I tried to have sex last night and it didn't work out.
It didn't. Oh, bad luck.
I went to a club and there was people drinking and dancing, and then I couldn't drink anymore and I had to come home, and I came home alone.
Oh, bad luck.
Well, a drag queen tried to follow me, and I had to be like, no, sorry.
I've got an interview.
I got to get up early.
Oh, dear. I love it. So one of the things that I'm picking up in this conversation so far is that what is erotic? What is art? What is pornography? Is that not really in the mind of the beholder?
Some people are fucking stupid, so I don't know. I want to let them have that right. Sure, I suppose it always is, yeah.
There's lots of people who like, paintings on black velvet. You can get them in the Mission District,
Yeah, in Vegas.
And in, all that kind of stuff, and they hang that on their walls. So, and they think that's art, and to them it is. Well,
I think it's fabulous, but I don't know if it's art.
If I come to your house and you have velvet paintings,
I don't. But yeah, it's always in the mind of the viewer. That's a tricky one. I think it's important to make things that, you should make a piece of artwork, even if it's erotic, that speaks up to a person rather than down to a person. So if you're making things on velvet, I think you're kind of speaking down to somebody instead of giving them something that's higher.
Well, the funny thing is that, when I was doing my, and there's lots of research, to back me up on this, but when I was doing my sexological studies, there was research coming out saying that people were less offended by seeing two guys suck dick than they were two guys kissing. So I suspect
sure,
that...
Sure, you attach the body, attach the head, and everything's okay.
Yeah. Well, it's the intimacy kind of thing, we perhaps understand that men will do sex things, and they're pretty indiscriminate because men are pigs, but,
yes.
An intimate connection, like a kissing experience, is something totally different.
I think it makes people uncomfortable.
It sure does.
Because it's a vulnerability. People always are afraid to be vulnerable with each other. In front of one another.
Right.
But I think those are the most beautiful moments on earth.
Well, I tend to agree with you.
And I've looked for them actively, ever since I was a child. So I'm a little different than most people, I think. Yeah. But that's why I'm an artist.
So as an artist, I suspect that you create other art besides the stuff that might commonly be thought of as erotic. Am I right?
Well, I make the comic books, which has a lot of childish themes and bizarre characters running through the forest trying to save their friends from evil. Uh-huh. That's not commonly erotic or what people are always used to seeing from me, but I think it's terribly erotic.
Yes.
You got boys running around half naked in the woods, and you kind of put two and two together in your mind, and it turns out to be kind of erotic.
Yeah.
The same way Lord of the Flies is like a porn flick.
Yes.
It is. And people are going to die. It's going to be really dramatic, but it's still really hot.
Yeah. What is it about erotic art that compels you to create it?
Because it really is a fundamental part of everyone's lives. It's everywhere. It's in every... anything that can absorb energy is there. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like... This is a cheesy thing to say, but it is a life force that is everywhere. Mm-hmm. And if you're able to tap into it, channel it, use it, you're speaking to everybody in a way that they're always going to recognize.
Mm-hmm. Would you be hard-pressed if you couldn't create erotic art ever again?
I would be lost. I wouldn't be able to function, I don't think. I don't know any other way.
Yeah.
Even anybody who creates something that's not erotic art, I think the foundation of it still comes from somewhere erotic.
Right. Interesting. Do you think erotic artists are wired differently than the rest of us mere mortals?
Mere mortals.
Don't forget the us crayon eaters.
Goddamn crayon eaters.
I know.
No, I think that they're artists are just a little bit more capable of looking below the surface. Uh-huh. That's all.
Yeah.
And it is an artist's job to present that to people who have not been able to look below the surface.
Or
so,
who are unable to communicate.
Special, actually.
Who are unable to communicate in a particular
right.
medium what they see. I mean, I think there are people who live very deep and very introspective and thoughtful and reflective lives, but they're not artists. They're
right.
You know,
they're artist customers.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point. That's an interesting
point.
It's
true.
That
no it's true.
Made before. You know, maybe that's it. I mean, I have a lot of art in my house.
There you go. You know, you understand it, you accept it, you appreciate it, you look into it.
But then again, a lot of the stuff that I do, you know, I mean, Daddy-O Productions certainly was, you know, a creative outlet or an artistic art outlet for me. I mean, I think a lot of the stuff that I do with Dr. Dick is also an artistic or creative outlet.
I think so. I appreciate it a whole lot. It's done very tastefully. It's interesting. It's not just sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're talking to me after all.
I had to pay him to say that, folks. Oh, all righty then. So let's talk a little bit about your chosen media. What do you use? Other people, you know, some of the people that I've interviewed for this series use words. And you use words and images, right?
Yeah, well, words are the most powerful thing on earth. You know, words get people to do things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you combine words and pictures and you do it in a way that is moving, God, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so good at the word part, I have to admit. I cannot spell.
Yes.
I cannot write.
Uh-huh.
But I can write like a child, and I think that is where the strength of my comic books
I was going to say that. I just assumed that you were
if it looks like I'm doing it on purpose, that's great. But I'm not.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
No, I am a little bit. I can write, you know, it's just not, I could never write a novel.
Yeah.
But I can write a reverent, you know, matter-of-fact observances.
Right.
And I think that those are wonderful. And you combine that with imagery, and it can become quite beautiful. It can still be erotic, too.
Yeah, right.
Like, I like it when characters point out things that are honest and true, and in writing, and especially in comic books, they can just matter-of-factly throw it out like a bullet.
Uh-huh.
And I think in other ways of expression artwork, it's difficult to do that. Like, it started to translate into my own life, unfortunately, though. So, like, for instance, I was at a party last night before I went out dancing, and these kids walked down the stairs with their father, and their father's like, "These stairs keep you young." And I said, "Actually, he's lying. They remind you you're getting old."
Oh.
I was like, "Ooh, I shouldn't say that out loud, you know."
Uh-huh.
But I just love it when people spit out things that are honest and true like that.
Mm-hmm. And children are famous for that.
Yeah, I couldn't help it. I looked at the kid and I was like, "He's lying."
And it's, you know, and maybe that's what makes at least Hedgehog Boy so charming, and the rest of your art too, because it really has a youthfulness. I don't think I've ever seen an image of yours that, you know, depicts somebody over what, 25.
Well, most of them are over 25.
Ah.
I guess I've always been attracted to people who are youthful.
Yes.
And I don't just mean in appearance.
Right.
Most of my friends are actually much, much older than I am.
Uh-huh.
But they
half
all
hour, 45 minutes at least.
No. No, my best friend is 50 years old. But he also has a painting in the attic that looks like shit.
Oh, you know,
he's very young and very beautiful. I like people who aspire to stay young. And if you can do it in your mind, your body will follow.
Great. Oh, my gosh, look at the time. We've been at this for over 30 minutes. And I have to excuse myself. Can I ask you back for next week?
Sure.
Are you?
I hope I can
wonderful.
Still talk.
Oh. No partying between now and then.
Yeah, like no deep throating. Okay.
Exactly. But before we leave, could you give us your website and walk us around a little bit? Let us know what we'll find there.
Sure. I was going to redo it, but since we're about to announce it, I won't redo it. It's renecapone.com, R-E-N-E-C-A-P-O-N-E.com. And if you go on there, it's really self-explanatory. There are buttons, and it kind of takes you around my current work, my older work, and if you're so inclined to buy prints or originals, you can do that too.
Oh, good, and good, good. Excellent.
There's a lot of content and a lot of articles that were written about me, stuff like that.
Right.
Stuff that makes me look more important than I really am. And
well,
it's
let's
fun.
Not
it's
let off that you're no, nobody, you're nothing.
I just love it, you know, like, I'm just a boy who draws, but people write things that make it seem like, you know, oh, it's so important, you know, it's just artwork.
Yeah. Well, until next week, then, we will be seeing you in cyberspace.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Dick.
Bye now. Fantastic show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for part two of my discussion with Renee and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
I thought I told you never to interrupt me while I'm working.
Say, whose show is it, anyhow? Again, this week's podcast sponsor is So Hard. I know what you're thinking. With so many herbal supplements on the market that boast fast-acting results, it's hard to know which erection-enhancing formula to choose, or if one shouldn't just avoid them altogether. I always tell my clients to beware of bogus claims and dangerously adulterated products that abound in the marketplace. So Hard is different. It's made of 100% herbal extracts. It's as effective as any medically prescribed drugs I've tested, but it's much kinder to my system. There are no headaches, unsightly flushes, upset stomach, rise in blood pressure, or altered vision. In my years-long search for the holy grail of herbal erection enhancers, I have found only one product that consistently delivers on the promises it makes without any of the nasty side effects. As you know, every human body is unique, so each of us metabolizes what we consume in a slightly different way. Keep that in mind when you use So Hard. Look for the So Hard banner on the sidebar of DrDickSexAdvice.com.
You don't know how to have fun.
That's just so not true. Listen, sex fans, I hope you are also following my other series of interviews called Sex Education. In these podcasts, I converse with prominent practitioners, educators, and advocates of unconventional sexual expressions and lifestyles. We investigate the world of fetish sex and kink, and we discuss topics like BDSM, power play, polyamory, and swinging. This series appears on Wednesdays. My regular podcast, like this one, continues on Mondays. And look for all of my podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe, and when you do, feel free to leave a comment. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.